Thank you, Jason, for leading us in those songs. A talented high school science teacher and a song leader. What more can you ask for? So did a good job. Thank you for doing that this morning. It's good to be back among the living. I never was quite out of the living, but there are a time or two you think it, you know, if you're sick, it's always quite a bit worse than anyone else. So but good to be back. I brought my water up here, so if I have to pause for that, you'll understand why. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is what we're going to be spending some time in this morning. We'll also look at this chapter next week as well. And I think if you take time to look at this chapter, there's a couple of different things that come out. And in our reading, the verses that we looked at, you probably noticed that phrase, "Don't lose heart." If you're reading from the New International Version, the heading of the chapter 4 might be "Treasures in Jars of Clay." And we'll look at that a little bit more last week. But I wanted to kind of go on both sides of that this morning in verse 1 and then also down in verse 16 where we see that phrase, "Don't lose heart." Now if you'll think about the group that Paul is writing to, a group that would be very, very similar in some aspects to the group we have here today, although he was writing to probably younger Christians, younger in the faith, they were dealing with the same things that any Christians deal with. We sometimes lose heart. We sometimes get bogged down. We sometimes become discouraged. We sometimes feel that we just can't continue and keep living our Christian life. I think Paul was recognizing that here, and in his letter was encouraging them, a very personal letter. If you read throughout this letter, you see that he gets very personal in many of the things that he talks about. But he encourages them. A story was once told of the New York City Transit Company, which was missing a bus as well as the bus's driver. This happened some years ago. But for over a week, the authorities searched for the man but couldn't find him anywhere. Finally, 10 days later, after the man had disappeared, he was found in his bus in Miami, Florida. The driver said, "I'd had it with the cold weather, the passengers, and my family. One day after I got off work, I thought, I wonder what would happen if I just took off from driving." So that's what he did. He took off for Florida and he enjoyed the sun and surf there for a week all by himself. Story didn't say if he had a job to go home to or not. We might speculate that he wouldn't. But have you ever felt like that, just taking off, taking and saying goodbye? I'm just going to leave this and I'm just going to drive and see where I end up. Maybe our marriage hasn't gone the way that we thought it would. It's never like you dreamed it would be. It's like the husband who said, "Some people ask the secret of our long marriage." He said, "We take time to go to a restaurant 2 times a week for dinner, soft music, and then a slow walk home. She goes on Tuesdays and I go on Fridays." Could be a way to a smooth marriage. Marriages can be difficult. We realize that. You've lived that. You understand that. We have several here in the audience who have made it many, many years in their marriages and have set good examples for the rest of us. Or maybe sometimes parenting becomes a little bit difficult. We have parents in our audience this morning. Kids do get parents down. Doesn't always really matter the age of the kid either. Sometimes we think if we can just get them up beyond that small age, we'll be fine. But then sometimes the older kids can disappoint. Sometimes children really can get parents down. Or maybe it's your job that's getting you down this morning. Father came home from work one day very exhausted and frustrated. He wanted to get some rest, but his little boy just kept asking and pestering him, "Dad, what do you do at work all day? Dad, what do you do at work all day?" Finally, the dad shouted, "Nothing." After a long pause, the little boy asked, "Well, how do you know when you're finished?" What is it that gets us down? Have we ever become frustrated, exhausted over things that have happened in our marriage, over things that are happening with our kids, or over things that are happening in our job, whatever that might be? Brothers and sisters, life is full of pain and disappointment, is it not? This is not going to end up a doom and gloom lesson this morning. It may start out that way, but Paul shares some things here to encourage, some things that will get us beyond that. We think things are going to be such and such, and they're not at all what we expect. Bills pile up, our health fails, our marriages do crumble from time to time. People hurt or disappoint, don't they? People criticize you. You feel that they're out to get you, and in every facet of life, you begin to say, why? What can I do? You may have thought that all your problems would go away, and they didn't. Temptations were stronger than you expected. People were not always as helpful or as nice as you thought they would be. And you begin to think after a period of time, what's the use in even coming to church? Why not just drop out and do what everybody else in the world is doing on Sunday morning? Why not just sit along the side? The story was also once told about the worst defeat in college football. It was a game that happened on October 7th, 1916. It's actually in the record books. Georgia Tech played Cumberland College, a team out of Kentucky, and beat them 222-0. 222-0. It's on record. It's a fact. And it was said that Cumberland never even made a first down. The much smaller Cumberland players were mauled. And halfway through the first half, one of the Cumberland backs fumbled the ball. As the ball rolled to his teammate, he yelled, "Pick it up, pick it up." The teammate yelled, "You pick it up, you dropped it." You know, he didn't want to pick that up and be mauled. Sometimes our situation in life seems hopeless, doesn't it? We've dropped the ball, we don't even feel like our teammates are there to help us pick it up. Another writing of Paul's in Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we what? If we do not give up." You know, the people who seem to do well in life are not particularly the most flashy. They're not even maybe the most talented or the most materially blessed. They're simply the people who just don't give up. They're those you can count on day in and day out. They're those that you know will be there to see you through. Twice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, "We do not lose heart." And I think that's what we need. Somehow we must not lose heart in life. We need to discover Paul's secret. And I think he points it out here in this verse. Three simple things that I want to leave with you this morning. Three things that if we really concentrate on, think about, put into practice, I think can help us keep that stiff upper chin. Number one, let's look there at verse 1. We read that earlier, but take just a moment to look at that. It says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." He says, we have this ministry, or we have this responsibility in life. Number one, remember your responsibility. You know, I think that's a word that I wonder if still is in the dictionary today. Do we take responsibility? Or do we try to pass that off on someone else? There was a man who was in a nursing facility, and he had spilled a cup of water next to his bed. And he just thought that he needed to get that cleaned up so that when he got out of bed, he wouldn't slip. So he asked the nurse's aide to come in and said, "Hey, can you clean that up for me?" Well, before he knew it, the nurse's aide had the cleaning crew down there as well. And they were disputing over who would clean up that little glass of spilt water. You see, if it was a small spill, it was the nurse's job. If it was a bigger spill, It was the cleaning crew's job. Well, the man lying there in bed became perplexed and he just couldn't take it anymore, so he took the pitcher and just dumped it. He said, "Will this help you all decide?" You know, responsibility is something we try to shrug, isn't it? Something we try to say, "It's not me. It's someone else." We're all faced with certain responsibilities in life. Some are the large puddle responsibilities and some are the small. Naturally, we prefer the small, but we know it doesn't always work that way all the time. There are many people in the world who are simply lazy and don't want to fulfill their responsibilities in life. You know those type of people. Just don't be that type of person. You may have worked with that type of person. You may live next to that type of person. You may know someone in your family that is that way. Just lazy. Don't want to take care. They don't even look toward their responsibilities. The Apostle Paul was a man who understood and fulfilled his responsibility in life. He said, "We have this ministry, as in I have this ministry." Romans chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, he says, "I am obligated both to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel." He says, "I'm obligated. I have responsibility. I have something that I know God wants me to do in my life, and I intend to do that. I intend to make the most of every situation." Paul considered his job of preaching the gospel an obligation, a responsibility which only he could fulfill. We are to be responsible people. Life is not always fun and games. And the real test of our maturity is our ability to keep going when the fun is over and you go ahead and do your job anyway. There are many times we maybe don't even feel like going to work. We just think, "Well, I've got a little bit going on today. I didn't quite get all the rest I needed last night. I may call in sick." One employer once said, "I like people who crawl in sick and not those who call in sick." Now, if you're sick, stay away from work. That's something you've got to do if you're truly sick. But as in many things in life, it doesn't take much for an excuse, does it? Remember your responsibility. There are some today who talk about burnout when in reality they just may be using that as a cop-out for their irresponsibility. Paul had a ministry. He had a job to do. And I'm sure there were times that he didn't feel like preaching. Remember your responsibility in life. If you want to make it in life, you must take the bull by the horns. We hear that time and time again. And do what needs to be done. Be responsible. Now let's skip down to verse 4. I think there's another secret here that Paul talks about. He says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." If we're going to make it in life, we must be alert to what is going on and be aware of our enemy. Who is our enemy? The God of this age, Satan. Walking around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Are we prepared? Are we willing to combat, do what it takes to defeat the enemy? We can't be like the boxer who went back to his corner after being knocked down in the first round. His trainer patted him on the back and he said, "Go out there and get him. He hasn't laid a glove on you yet." In the second round, he was knocked down twice and saved by the bell. On the count of 9, he barely made it back to his corner. His trainer patted him on the back again and said, "Go out there and get him. He hasn't laid a glove on you yet." The boxer then said to his trainer, I'm going back out there and I'm going to get him this next round. But you keep your eyes on the referee because someone sure is beating me up. Do we know who's beating us up? Do we know who our enemy is? Do we know who we're facing? Or do we sometimes try to turn a blind eye and think that that enemy will leave us alone? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The devil is our enemy. We need to combat him, fight against him if we're going to make it. Peter said, resist him, standing firm in the faith. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. You know, when we're fighting, we sometimes need some big guns on our side, don't we? We're sometimes fighting a powerful, powerful enemy. Often we are. But our guns are even bigger if we rely in the Lord Himself. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. To combat the enemy and keep from losing heart in life, we need assistance. We need the help. We need Bible study. We need to pray. We need to come together to worship. We need our Christian friends and family. That's part of our defense when we come together on Sunday morning. That helps build us up to get us through until that next time we'll meet again. Now let's go down to verses 8 and 9. There in chapter 4. Not the most positive verses that we can ever read, but notice what Paul says here. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Number three, we need to develop a resiliency. Think about that for just a moment. Develop a resiliency. Paul knew about heartaches and he knew about headaches. He knew about stress, but he didn't let those things get him down. He may have been temporarily down, but he didn't stay down. He always bounced back. He was resilient. You know, as I saw the doctor the last Monday, went to urgent care, and you know, a lot of times our spiritual health, we can get some good comparisons in our physical health as well. So they tested me for influenza A, and the test came back positive. He said, yeah, that's what you've got. We won't test any further because that's we treat it all the same. So anyway, I said, well, he asked me, he said, did you get your flu shot? And I said, no, I didn't. I said, should I have? And he said, well, I'm actually seeing as many people who had their flu shot as who didn't. So he said, I'll let you make that choice. I'm not standing up here, Dr. Claxton, saying yay or nay for flu shots. But he did tell me, though, one thing. He said, I can pretty much guarantee you won't get this same strain of the flu again this year. He said, your body has now or will be developing a resiliency, if you'd like to use that word, against that particular strain. Sometimes in our spiritual life, when we're down, when we think that we're out, could that be God using us, putting us to the test in such a way that we can develop a resiliency to stand firm the next time? Paul says we're pressed on every side, but not crushed. God's not going to crush us. He's going to allow us to be tested, sure. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. God put us here for one another, did He not? Put us here to help each other through. When we are down, when we're perplexed, but not crushed. Don't you just admire the people who make the best of a bad situation? We should. We should be that type of person. You've heard that old saying time and time again, when life hands you lemons, make what? Lemonade, exactly. In 1852, many of the California vineyard owners were going bankrupt because of the drought. All the grapes had just shriveled up on the vines. One particular vineyard owner picked them anyway, and he took them to market and advertised them as a Peruvian delicacy. And we've been eating raisins ever since. Making the best out of a bad situation. I don't know your exact plot in life this morning. I don't know exactly where you're at this morning. I know that there, with a group this size, we have some that are going through a tough time. Some that are feeling down. Some that are feeling neglected. Some that are maybe feeling rejected. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." We will get down, but we don't have to stay down. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Let's conclude this morning with a couple more verses from chapter 4. I want to back up and begin there at verse 8 and then read down through verse 10. "We are pressed hard on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." What are you carrying this morning? Is Christ a part of you? Is Christ your life this morning? Are you carrying that around, sharing with others day by day? It's not always an easy thing to do. You may think, how can I share with others if I can't even stay up myself? We go through those down times. Paul realized that. I think that's why he's addressing this very thing. He says, you too can bounce back. You too will be able to get back in the game. We don't do that on our own, do we? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you're here this morning and you aren't yet a Christian, this morning would be a great opportunity to take that first step. Carry Christ with you. You've heard God's word. You believe what it says. You're willing to repent. That simply means change. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and then be baptized. Not to live a perfect life by any means, but a forgiven life. Or as a Christian, sometimes we do lose heart, don't we? We know that to be the case. Any of those that have lived the Christian life for many years, we'd love to pray for you this morning. One of our shepherds would come down here and say a prayer on your behalf, going to God, bringing His care, bringing your cares, your troubles, your sins before Him this morning. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.